Welcome to our short story series, A Walk in the Dark. I am your host, Bob Berry. Young love is a memorable part of growing up. It introduces us to warm feelings, jealousy, anger, and sometimes long-term happiness. Fate, however, can sometimes upend all of these feelings, as we find out in this tale entitled, A Chilly Wind.
His bicycle stopped, and my son, 14-year-old Roy, picked up a stick alongside the road. It was dawn, and he'd forgotten his favorite stick in the garage, because he was still half asleep and running late. He was coming upon the McVickers' old farmhouse about a half mile from town, and he knew he would have to ward off McVickers' dog, just as he had to do nearly every morning. Fortunately, the dog must have been in sleep mode also, and never appeared.
Roy delivered the Crown City Sentinel newspaper Monday through Friday mornings to 36 front porches in our small town of Freelandville. We're very proud of our boy. He would be late for school today, but knew that his freshman class English teacher, Mr. Palmer, would be tolerant because he also received his newspapers from Roy.
It was a special day for both Roy and Mr. Palmer, as it was Friday, and the final day of school before the 1954 spring break. Roy would be heading for a Florida vacation with us, while Mr. Palmer would be tending his garden of cucumbers, carrots, and tomatoes. Next day, we were driving to Sanibel, Florida, for our annual spring vacation. The trip took 2 days with frequent pit stops for my wife, who is 7 months pregnant. She already has a girl's name picked out, but Roy's hoping for a brother. Girls just weren't as much fun to do things with, he said. Stuff like baseball, hiking, camping. All the things that boys like.
Sunny Sanibel never disappointed us. There was always fun and relaxation for everyone. After unloading the van, Mom rested in bed and Dad sat in a chair, half napping and half watching sports on TV. I told Dad I was going for my customary first walk around the motel complex where we always stayed, and then onto the beach. The sun was fierce at 11 a.m., making my burr haircut itch. I walked slowly, then suddenly a cool breeze slapped my face. I stopped and looked around. Nothing unusual. It was a cloudless day, and the heat returned. But strange, I thought. For some reason, I wasn't enjoying the walk. I moved down the sandy path to the gulf's edge, but didn't feel like sticking my bare feet into the water, something I'd always done in the past. After 2 days, I was ready to go home. Nothing seemed the same. Then a letter came addressed to me from my best friend, Larry Adkins. I opened it and noticed that most of it was printed in block letters with misspellings. Dear Roy, hope you are having fun. Good old Smitty sends his greetings too. He says, tell the little turd I said hi and not to hurry back. Sweet guy. About 60 degrees here, Cardinals have won 3 games in a row. Bad news, guy. Monica told Sheila that she had seen Rita with Ben Johnson holding hands at the Saturday matinee at the Ohio Theater. She also said she had seen them kissing more than once. The movie was called Montana Gold, very good flick. I seen it 2 days before they did. Sorry about the Rita thing, but being best friends and all, I thought you should know. No big deal, buddy. Girls are a dime a dozen with our looks. Well, mine anyway. We can attract dozens of females even older than girls our age. Send me a bathing beauty postcard, snotface. Larry. I stared at the letter devastated. Rita and I had been in love, true love, for 2 years. We had held hands, kissed several times, and promised to always be together till death do us part. My eyes became moist, but I would not allow a tear to fall. Not a manly thing to do. A chilly gust of wind blew through the screened-in porch. Rain coming, probably. No rain came. I was torn up by Rita's betrayal, and now this vacation, not even half over, was ruined. I could tell my parents were concerned.
It's just his age. I was like that back then. You get tired of being with grown-ups.
I don't know. This feels like something different.
He'll break out of it.
Devastated as I was, I decided to have revenge against Rita and her new boyfriend. My first thought was to tear up her picture that I carried in my wallet. I hadn't been able to bring myself to look at that picture since Larry's letter. Now, I wanted her gone from my life. I thought perhaps burning the picture would give the relationship the proper ending. The sound of the pounding Gulf waves through my bedroom window, however, gave me a better, more poetic ending. Someday she would regret her mistake in leaving me. I took her school picture from my wallet without looking at it and turned it face down on the bed and thought of a proper container, a coffin, if you will. Then I remembered the half-finished glass bottle of orange juice in the kitchen fridge. I drank the rest of the orange juice, rinsed the bottle and its metal screw top, and turned it upside down to dry. Then laid down on the bed beside Rita's overturned picture, feeling very good about what I was about to do. Catnap time. Mother woke me up, tapping on the door.
You okay, dear?
Yes, Mom.
How was your day?
Fine, Mom.
Your father and I are going out for a drive. You want to come along?
No, thanks. I think I'll walk down to the pier in a while.
Oh, be careful. Be back for dinner. Have fun.
I will. I heard them leave and began the ritual which would end this disappointing segment of my life. On the back of Rita's picture, I wrote, "I loved you once upon a time. You will always be my first love, Roy. But not my last." I bent the picture and placed it in the empty orange juice glass bottle and screwed the top on tight, grabbed my flip-flops, sunglasses, and headed for the pier. The pier was 3 blocks away. I held the bottle, sometimes squeezing it emotionally, but would not allow my eyes to tear up. The aging wooden pier spanned over a city block into the Gulf. It had survived 2 hurricanes and numerous years of saltwater battering, but still stood strong. I stepped on the pier's broad, gray, wrinkled planks. Fishermen ahead were on both sides of the pier, lazily hoping for anything to take the bait. I moved beyond them, walking to the end of the pier which reached into the Gulf. I was finally alone with my thoughts and feelings. The sky became overcast and a sudden chill swept through my sweat-dampened t-shirt. I had felt this chill before. I held the bottle in my hand and leaned on the weathered railing. No one was near. I lifted the bottle to my lips and planted a kiss, looked at it one more time, then threw it side-armed out as far as I could. It flew for a few seconds, becoming smaller before there was a tiny splash. The bottle disappeared beneath the blue-green water, then resurfaced and bobbed. It stayed poised in one position, then began its slow journey, away from the pier, away from me, one swell at a time. Good riddance. Revenge complete. 2 days went by. I livened up, jogged, and played Scrabble with the folks, and started reading 2 books in preparation for school in the fall. On Friday, the day before vacation's end, I noticed 2 letters on the kitchen counter. One had been opened, the other was closed and was from Larry. I carefully turned the open envelope over and saw that it was addressed to Dad. The return address was 103 Oak Street, Freelandville, Ohio. I recognized this as my teacher, Mr. Palmer's address from my newspaper route. Why would Mr. Palmer be sending a letter here to my dad? I slid the letter from the envelope and began reading. "Chuck, Don Palmer here. I regret having to send this letter and hope you will keep it in confidence until the right time. This will be tough on Roy. Mildred Simmons and her daughter Rita were killed in a one-car accident. Mildred lost control of their car during a thunderstorm, and the car slid off the road and turned over in a ditch that was filled with water. The police said neither person was able to get out. Services are pending." I could read no more. Calmly, I placed the letter back in the envelope in slow motion and picked up the letter from Larry. I ripped the letter open savagely, barely aware that I'd cut my finger. Blood dripped on the letter contents as I read the yellow-lined paper. "Dear Roy, bad news, I'm afraid. I wanted to let you know before you read about it or heard about it from somebody else. Rita and her mother were killed in an accident. I really didn't want to tell you, but what are best friends for? So sorry, buddy. Also, sorry about my earlier letter to you talking about Rita and Ben kissing. Just made that up because I was jealous that you were in Florida. I feel real bad now. Hope we can still be friends. Larry." I dropped the letter and looked out the kitchen window at the reddish sun, which was now low on the Gulf horizon. I slowly walked to the bedroom, opened my billfold, and took out a school photo of Larry Adkins. Then I returned to the kitchen and took out an unopened glass bottle of orange juice. I unscrewed the cap and poured the contents into the sink. Shaking, I crushed Larry's picture and shoved it in the bottle and replaced the cap. Blood was still dripping from my finger. I grabbed pieces of paper towel and dabbed at it, as well as my tears, which now flowed nonstop. Then I headed for the pier, bottle in hand, as a chilly wind blew over me. Colder than before.
A Chilly Wind was written and directed by Bob Berry. The cast included Jason Doubt, Lee Playhetko, and Tyler Marks. Original theme music by Brian Lee Wheat. Produced at Village Recording Studio, Indianapolis, Indiana. I am your host, Bob Berry. Join us again for another unusual tale from A Walk in the Dark. Thank you.